A Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
For now, let's talk cybersecurity. A lot of the companies continuing to use technology to speed up the transfer of information. You know, you want to change business opportunities. And of course, with all that comes cyber risk. And we've had a couple of big ones hitting the headlines last year, cases that involved hotel chain Marriott, SingHealth as well. Well, professional services firm Aon has identified a couple of specific risks that organizations may face this year, regardless of where they are on their digital journey. And helping me out this morning is my guest, Andrew Marty, the Regional Director of Financial Services and Professions Group, Commercial Risk Solutions, Aon. Good morning, Andrew.
Hi, Elliot. Thanks for having me.
So what are the key risks that you've highlighted is the area of mergers and acquisitions? Now, you've noticed that as M&A values increase, the vulnerabilities increase as well. Why is that?
Yeah, I think that's it's a really important point. And we talk about, and the report talks about the importance of cyber due diligence. So we see in any kind of M&A activity a range of due diligence. Obviously, financial due diligence, but a number of features will be looked at, including the insurance arrangements of a company. What we're seeing now, though, is, and I think the Yahoo-Verizon deal is probably the best example, is just how important the cybersecurity, the risk profile of a company that you might be acquiring or partnering with can be, and the risk that brings to your organization. So in that case, after the two large data breaches at Yahoo were announced, Verizon was able to basically slash $350 million off the asking price. So it is becoming a significant financial issue for companies in the M&A space.
Another area that you're watching closely is how directors and officers will face growing personal liability when it comes to cybersecurity oversight. So let's say, Andrew, if I'm a company director, what should I be worried about?
I think that it starts with recognizing that cyber risks shouldn't just be an issue for your IT team. Okay. Cyber risk is enterprise risk. So ultimately, as a director, any sort of senior leader, you're going to be held accountable to your customers, to your shareholders, if something does go wrong. Now, maybe if we look back a few years ago, less was known about this risk and about the steps that should be taken to protect an organization. Less was known about risk transfer solutions, insurance to prop you up in the event of a loss. Now, I think senior leaders don't have that excuse. There is a real understanding that cyber risk is number one or number two on a board's concerns, and so the company should act accordingly. What we see tracking kind of litigation in America, particularly class action litigation against directors and officers, is that the initial cases didn't go very far. So we had things like the Target breach and a number of retail data breaches where opportunistically claims were brought against directors and officers, didn't go very far. Then we saw them begin to settle out of court for small sums. And then again, looking at the Yahoo breach, we saw that settle out of court for $29 million. And so now this is becoming a real issue. And as soon as you see some of those numbers, you know that lawyers, litigants in that space will be looking at other companies and seeing how those claims can be pressed against directors and officers. So certainly a new area of exposure.
Tech companies like even Facebook going through data breaches as well surely adds weight to the role of a director in the company.
That's right. And I don't think any director wants to be in the position that Mark Zuckerberg was answering to Congress. So I think you can really see that this is not something that you can just send your chief information officer or your head of IT to answer for. If you're the head of a company, as little as you may know about cyber risk or technology, you're expected to be answerable.
It's only responsible, right? Well, another area that you brought up, and I quite like this one, you're looking at employees very closely because it seems that employees remain one of the most common causes of breaches. And we've seen a lot of cases prove that as well.
Yeah, it depends on how you look at the employee. Optimistically, the strongest line of defense that we have. Pessimistically, the weakest link. Ultimately, the employee and each of us at our individual workstations, we are a gateway into the company. And in most sophisticated attacks, even though you'll see some of that advanced malware play out later, the first step is usually an intrusion via an employee. So it's usually a spear phishing email directed at an employee, some sort of social engineering of an employee. So if employees can be trained up to recognize that threat and to respond appropriately, you're much better placed. The other thing that should be considered is that as much as we would love to, you can't always trust every employee. And, and I think the recent breach of the HIV registry in Singapore was a good example of that. So as much as we are all concerned about external threats, you do need to be concerned about the people that, that you let inside the doors and you give access to this data and control access privileges and just monitor activity on those accounts as well.
I suppose employee sabotage is quite straightforward, but the real problem is employee ignorance.
Yeah.
Where they have no idea that they're causing spyware to come in.
Yeah, that's right. 90% of the time, that's the issue. It will either be clicking on the malicious link or downloading an attachment, or even cases of social engineering where employees think they're doing the right thing by sending in a transfer to these new account details for a company or sending out data to somebody they think is their CEO, but they're actually being manipulated. So it is that ignorance, that inadvertent activity that is the biggest risk.
Then there's the curious situation of supply chains. It's a vulnerable part. It's becoming more and more an issue because we're relying on, say, external or perhaps third-party vendors and even third-party software as well.
Yeah, supply chain, similar to the M&A issue, supply chain is a huge issue. And as we grow more and more connected, that will only continue to be an issue. Supply chain is tricky because we often talk about the things that you can do on the proactive side to minimize risk and then about risk transfer. So recognizing that there's residual risk and that you need to transfer that out via a contract or via an insurer.
Okay.
On the supply chain side, it's very hard to dig into that third-party systems and say, hey, we're not happy with how your infrastructure is managed here, your IT infrastructure, or we think that you should be doing some red team testing of your systems. There's a limited ability that you have when engaging with those vendors to implement those measures. So I think risk transfer is critical on the supply chain, and that's probably three steps. That's making sure that your contracts are fairly robust in terms of the indemnities that are put in place between you and a vendor. It's making sure your own insurance arrangements can cover you in the event that there is a vendor breach. And it's often, and we're seeing this increasingly with tech companies, it's contracting with smaller vendors and requiring them to take out some insurance so that you know there's something that you can go to if there's an issue at their end.
Internet of Things is a trendy topic that's always brought up, but you have actually highlighted it as a bit of a risk. Could you elaborate more about the risks of the rise of IoT and, you know, perhaps if there's worst case scenario that you could give examples of?
Yeah, so IoT, I think, is really emblematic of the broader problem is that we have realized a lot of efficiencies. As you said in your introduction, I think that there's a productivity has increased. Mm. The way that a company can service its clients has really increased by the use of technology. But every time that increases, the risk comes with it. And IoT is a great example of that. So it allows us to do far more on the go, things that weren't possible a short amount of time ago. But the proliferation of IoT devices significantly increases the attack surface of a company, meaning there are a lot more ways into a company. And when we look at our laptops, workstations, usually those are the devices with the highest level of security. And that security often drops off when we start talking about our smartphones, but particularly when we talk about other devices that are connected to the internet. What we've seen is often those devices are the ones that are used to form part of a botnet. So they become the devices that are taken over to launch attacks on other companies. But for an organization, when you're thinking about IoT, you're really thinking about how are we controlling what gets into our organization? Mm. So if somebody is using an iPhone, for example, what apps are they downloading? How do we verify that those apps are safe? And is there any way that any kind of intrusion into that device then finds its way into our system? It's a really difficult issue, and I think it requires a real understanding of your IT infrastructure and some clear policies as to how your employees use various devices.
So you could literally get hacked by your own wireless printer.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning. I've been speaking with Andrew Money, Regional Director, Financial Services and Professions Group, Commercial Risk Solutions at Aon. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.